Please take your Bibles with me today. Open them to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. I want to read there, beginning in verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. Then we'll turn over to look at a similar passage to this to be found in the book of Luke in chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13. Very sobering words here, as the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us of the seriousness of finding eternal life and how deceptive the heart is and how broad the way is that leads to destruction, how easy it is to get on the easy path and go the way of the world. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." That means very narrow, very narrow. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, and that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them." Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter number 6, and let's look at a similar passage of Scripture. Varies just a little bit. And Luke chapter number 6. Again, these passages, when you're reading through the Gospels, you will have men writing from their point of view to some degree, and they will include some things that the other one may have left out. They do not contradict one another, they complement one another. In Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 43. "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." Last few Sundays, I have spoken to you out of the book of Job and used that as my text, where Job said, "Ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee how that animals and nature can teach you some things." And then he said, "Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee," meaning that nature's realm has its own ways of showing you things about God and about yourself and about one another. If you want to learn something, if you seek the wisdom of God. We have a missionary that we support that's a very good missionary in the Ukraine. Name is Christopher Rue, good brother. I remember a comment he made one time when he said, talking about the people in Ukraine, he said, "Our people live close to the earth." What does that mean? He wasn't talking about how far your feet are off the ground or on the ground. He was referring to how that when you get away from the city and you get away from the city life and you get away from the conveniences that have been abundant in America, that you begin to see some of the realities and the harshness and the goodness and the blessings that the earth brings to us. And what he was talking about, it brings reality. In other words, they could not just go down to the local store and get a loaf of bread anytime that they wanted. Our children tend to think that if they ever get hungry or thirsty or want something, that it's going to be right down the street. Not true when you live close to the earth. And not only that, but also you see the reality of that things live for a purpose, that they have to produce. If you live on a farm, if it doesn't produce, you get rid of it. It has to produce. It has to be there for a purpose. And you'll also see how plants, animals are given to feed us and clothe us. And that you cannot... My grandfather, I grew up on a farm. My grandfather always raised a couple of hogs for the winter to be slain. And in the cold, when the first cold would come, we would get together as a family. We'd gather together and have a great time of processing these hogs. But he would grow those hogs up, and I would go down there with him, and he would feed them almost every other day with different things. And they were little, and they were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he would tell me, he said, "Now listen," he would name these pigs, and he said, "Now listen, don't get attached to these. Because we're not growing these to be pets." He said, "We're growing these to provide for us in the wintertime when we need food." And sure enough, the time would come. He says, "I want you to go with me." And so he would take me down there on that. Usually it was in November, early November, when the first frost would come and it would be ice cold. He said, "It's time for us to kill the hogs. Let's go." He would take me down there, and there those hogs had been coming all summer, and in the spring had been coming to him to get some food. And when those two hogs came up there, man, listen, I wasn't traumatized by what I'm about to tell you, but I learned a valuable lesson. He pulled those hogs up there close to that trough, and he took a .22 rifle, and he put that rifle right up there on their head, and he pulled that trigger. And as soon as he pulled that trigger, he took a knife and he put it right up in that hog's throat. And I mean, the blood went everywhere all over that hog pen. You say, "Man, that's gross. That's awful." That's because all you do is sit in a cushy home and watch TV. And you watch men shoot other men while blood rolls on the ground in a fantasy world. But that hog, we'd put that hog up there on a piece of wood and drug it up there. And man, that hog fed us all went along. But that's the harshness of life. But it also shows you how that things are the reality of life. And so when you ask the earth sometimes to teach you some things, God's put things out there all over the place for you to bump into, for you to see the good hand of God, and for you to see how that life really is. Like the law of sowing and reaping. If you're close to the earth, you understand that. If you live city life, you don't understand that. You don't sow. You don't reap. And so when you look at this passage here, the Lord Jesus Christ is choosing something that's in nature. And he is liking it unto you and I. And it's trees. And so I noticed that, and I began to do a study in the Bible about trees. And I came to this conclusion. God likes trees. But I will tell you this, he's not a tree hugger. He made trees to bless mankind. He made trees to bless mankind. As you read through the scriptures, you know Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived other than the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was alive, there was no one wiser that walked the earth. People would travel for thousands of miles just to come to hear his voice and to hear him talk about different things. And so sometimes when they would come to hear him, in 1 Kings chapter 4, he would tell them about the wisdom of God. And he says he spake of trees. He spake of trees. He spake of beasts. We know that he talked about that in Proverbs. He talked about the ant and the rabbit and the locust and the spider. And it says he spoke also about the fowl. We talked about like a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man that wanders from his place. It says also that he spake about creeping things. things, creeping things. I put in parentheses in my notes, he must have been talking about Democrats. Didn't know they existed way back then. Hope I didn't lose you right there. And he talked about fishes. Oh, I wish I could talk to him about how to catch flounder in the summertime. The Bible says there came of all people to hear his wisdom. And so when you look at the Bible, man, I'm telling you, Solomon and David and Jeremiah and the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find that a common thing that they would teach on to compare to mankind are trees. Trees. Now, as you read through your Bible, you'll observe in creation that God truly does like them. And he likes to use them literally in the Bible, symbolically in the Bible, metaphorically in the Bible. They're used, even in parables in the New Testament. By the way, just the volume of trees alone should tell you something. Right now, Yale University did a study on trees in 2015, 10 years ago. 3 trillion. Now, I don't know who went out and counted all those. 3 trillion trees. 70,000 different varieties of trees. God in history, from Genesis to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation. History, his story. He starts in Genesis 3 with a tree in the garden, the tree of life. At the end of the book, at the end of history, there is mentioned in Revelation 22 that same tree, the tree of life. And in the middle of his book, and the middle of man's history, he has got his son hanging on a tree. And the Bible says, makes it very clear. Peter said this. He said, we are witnesses of all things of which Jesus, talking about the Lord Jesus, did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Of all the things that God could have sacrificed his son on, he chose a tree. The Bible says, him, talking about the Lord Jesus, God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Thank God he did not stay on the tree. That's why I do not have a crucifix. Amen. My Savior is not on a cross. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus himself said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And the Lord Jesus Christ was chosen by the... You got to think about this. The Creator of heaven and earth planted a seed that he knew one day would grow a tree, that one day he would put his son on that tree. And on that day, the Son of God became sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Beginning, end, in the middle, trees. The Lord Jesus Christ used trees to make it us like similar unto mankind. Now look, you'll see this. Look with me here. He says in Luke chapter number 6 again, please, in verse number 43. You know why? Because trees are honest. Trees are what they are. A tree is known by its what? Its fruit. Whereby others can judge what kind of tree that it is. Now, the only verse that some of you know is, thou shalt not judge. But I think if you went out to look for an apple in an orchard full of various fruit trees, I think that you would use your judgment to find a tree that had an apple on it. He said that a tree is known by its fruits. And my goal this morning is for you and I, before we start looking at every other tree in here, I'm going to ask you if you would look at yourself. That before you began to examine all the other trees in here and their fruit, would you take for a moment this morning and be serious to look and see what kind of tree is you are? And because the fruit is determined by the root. And the root that he's referring to is your heart. And what is in your heart is going to come out the branches. Do you understand? What is in there, whatever, it's like a tube of toothpaste. When you squeeze it, what is on the inside is coming out. And God is telling us here, Jesus is looking at us and saying, hey, look, look in chapter number 6 again with me in verse number 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Do not let your mind start thinking about someone else. Can I get you to do that for just a moment? I need you to look at you. I need to look at me. He says, for every tree is known by his own fruit. And by the way, he makes it very clear that some of the fruit that he's looking for, and it starts. Now you think that when you look at a tree, normally you're looking at something visual. You're looking for the pear, you're looking for the plum, you're looking for the orange, you're looking for maybe the coconut, and that's fair enough. But with us, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, and he makes it very clear in verse number 45 at the end of that verse. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I need to listen to the way I talk. I need to listen to the words and pay attention to the words that come out of my mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Jesus went on to say that not only verbally, but also your actions. Because he said, many of you will say, Lord, but you will not do what I say. So that means that your words, in other words, don't really have much meaning. They're not really committed. Okay, so as we look at this passage of Scripture, understand something. That everyday life tells us something about an individual by observation, our visual aid, and verbally. I'll tell you what, this is so important. Many of us can restrain our lips for a little while, especially when we get around people that we want something from or we want them to evaluate us in a higher esteem so we know how to say what we're supposed to say at that moment. But my friend, when you are really saying what you really mean, that's what you really are. That's what you really are. Psalm chapter 12 said there was a group of people that said, who is Lord over us? And what they were saying is, we are in charge of our own lips. And we'll say what we want to say, when we want to say it, how we want to say it, and you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me how to talk. You're not going to tell me how to walk. If I hear you say those things, I know that you are not a Christian. If I hang around you a little while and you're not playing a game, if I listen to you talk very much, it won't be long that I'll know what's in your heart. I'm serious. I can tell. And you'll be able to tell about me as well. If I can just hear you talk when what really is in you is coming out, I'll know what you are. You'll notice that Jesus said this, and this, by the way, this is not all negative. Because some of you have some good things down in your heart. You say, well, there's nobody, people only know a couple of verses. And they use them all the time, like a baseball bat. When he says in verse number 45, a good man, out of the good, oh, preacher, no, there's none good, no, not one. That's the only verse you know? Did you know that when a person gets born again, that God gives them a new heart? A new heart. Did you know Barnabas got saved, born again, and the Bible specifically calls him a good man? A good man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And you know what? He was a fruitful tree. Did you know a church is an orchard? And there's all kinds of trees in here. Hardwoods for sure. I'm looking at one right over there. Hardwoods. Softwoods. But you know what? God wants everybody in here to be a fruitful tree. And we're not all supposed to be the same kind of trees. Because all of us have different needs. And so when you come into church, there's going to be some people that have fruit in their lives, and that's exactly what you need for the day. It's what you need for the week. I remember Brother Kenny brought me some oranges last year. I think it was last year he brought me some big oranges. I mean, they were fantastic. Better than you could ever buy at the store. He told me it took him 7 years of cultivating and working around that tree and pruning that tree for it to produce that particular fruit. So don't judge people too quickly. Well, God is working around in their lives and you say, well, I just don't see much. Well, maybe God didn't make you an inspector. Maybe you don't really know what to look for. I'm just saying sometimes it takes a little bit longer for some to develop some of that fruit. But let's talk about in verse number 45. You see, if you've got a bad heart, I'm not talking about physically, if you've got an evil heart, you can't help. You just can't help yourself. You're going to be ugly, critical, bitter, murmur, whine, cuss, criticize, because it just leaks out of you. And the Bible says that what your religion is vain. One of the first things that God does when he saves a man and changes his heart, it impacts his tongue or her tongue. It says that if a man among us seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, and his religion is vain. Boy, I tell you what, the Bible says the tongue is a world of iniquity, set on fire of hell. No man can tame it. So who can tame it? Only the Lord. I grew up around, I remember the first, I don't know how I know this, but I can remember the first time I really said a really good cuss word. Well, there ain't no good cuss words, but I'm talking about that's what people would probably call it. It was a bad cuss word. I grew up on a farm working in sometimes when those guys would work on those tractors. My uncle was one of them. He was a drunkard and he was a bad cusser. He could cuss, but he was good at it. Let me put it that way. Whatever thy hand findeth to do it with all thy might, he did it. And I remember being up there in that barn working on those tractors with him. And man, he was letting it rip. I said, wow. And I was impressed. As a boy, I said, I'm going to pick up on that. So I went home and Dad wasn't there, but Mom was there. And we were eating. You know, and I said, I just was talking plainly and I used the same language he used. And she looked at me and said, son, don't you ever, ever say that again. Why? Because that's what was in his heart. And I'm going to tell you, when you get born again, you may let a curse word slip now and then if you grew up around cussers, but you can't cuss and get away with it. Because it grieves the Holy Ghost. And you just can't say what you used to say. You can't get away with that. Because now you got a good heart. And now instead of griping and murmuring, complaining, you find that your heart is now giving thanks for your food. Instead of griping about your job, you're thankful that somebody hired you. And if you've got your own business, you're grateful. You're thankful for your wife and your husband and your children and your food and your clothes and the grace of God and the mercy of God. The Bible says this, symbolically, the Bible says, Solomon said this about trees. He said this, he said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. How about that? It's not the tree of life, it's a tree of life. In other words, what's going on in your life, it's going to improve my life. You are going to help me grow and heal by what you are producing in your life. He went on to say this about that. He said, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness, if you have a perverted mouth, if you have a perverted way of thinking, if you're always twisting what the preacher says, if you're always twisting what your parents say, he said therein is a breach in the spirit, which means it hurts people. James said, using nature, he said, can the fig tree bear olive berries? No. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter, salt water and fresh? No. He said, should out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing? He said, no. So I want to ask you, listen to yourself. Every once in a while when somebody around you is discouraging you because of the way they talk, you can leave here and get in that car and take away everything that you got from this service just by your mouth. And somebody can get a blessing out of the service, and one person can come and grieve their spirit by one statement of what was said in that service. While you were getting some cantaloupe over here, and that word over here, you were getting an apple over here, you was getting an orange, and man, you're just, God's giving you some stuff. And then you get in the car, you get around the family at dinner, and somebody says something that just grieves the spirit. What I encourage you to do, though, is to look at yourself first. I don't get to talk the way I want to talk. I don't have a choice. I don't get to say to some people what I would really like to tell them. I can't. Not stay right with God. I can't do that. Yeah, but they need to hear it. I know. And if you'll write it down, I'll sign it. But I'll say, you said it first. Do you understand that it's that Jesus said, look, he said, you were made to be productive. You were made as a child of God to be beneficial. God likes to use these trees. Matter of fact, Revelation chapter number 11. You ever read through the book of Revelation? You see those two guys that show up in chapter number 11 during the tribulation period? They are his two great witnesses called candlesticks, but also they are called two olive trees. Those two men are called two olive trees. Why? Because olive trees belong around the house of God and they are fruitful. They are a blessing in so many various ways. They are a blessing, but he called them two olive trees. Did you know that God wants you to be like a tree? He said this. David said, talk about the man that will not sit in the seat of the scornful, the man that will not ask for counsel from the wicked and the ungodly, but rather he meditates on the word of God day and night. He said that man, he said, is blessed. He said he becomes like a tree. I'm asking you to be like a tree. Now, not just any kind of tree. He said, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. Whatever he does will prosper. That means progress and bear fruit. Jeremiah picked up on that years later. He said, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, spread out her roots by the river, shall not see when heat cometh. Her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. God wants you to be like a tree. The Lord Jesus believes every believer is divinely enabled and expected to bear good fruit. Designed to be productive, to be a blessing. Did you know there are over 5,000 everyday items that mankind enjoys and benefits from various trees? Food, medicine, paper, lumber, rubber, cork, chewing gum. I don't want to see that in here though. Chemicals. On and on and on it goes with trees. God says, I want you to be like a tree. I've divinely designed you and placed you in an area to be a blessing to everyone that comes in contact with you in some area of life. Trees are also not only productive, but they're protective. You ever, when the sun's really bearing down, are you looking for a desert place? Or are you looking for a tree? Thank God for shade trees. I've also had to get under some trees when it was been pouring down rain. I don't like to get under a tree when it's lightning. But I do want to get under a tree when it's pouring down rain. They protect people. They also are directive. What do you mean by that? Did you know the early settlers in America, when they were sailing this marvelous country, especially the further west as they began to go, in order for them to survive, they began to look for certain kinds of trees. Because certain kinds of trees would let them know that water was close by or water was close to the surface that wouldn't take forever to dig a well. So they would look for a tree like a willow tree or a poplar tree or a sycamore tree or a cottonwood tree. And they would look for these things because that tree would reveal to them. Did you know that trees also will let you know which way is north? A tree also will work its way toward the light. It'll lean toward the light. Would let you kind of get you know which way the sun is traveling. You know, not everybody used to have GPS and a phone. But on the north side of a tree, there'll be moss growing to let you know which way. God's good. God's putting nature out there to help you find your way. It also is instructive. You know, it tells time. A tree can tell time. Before watches and clocks were invented, trees could tell you not to the minute, but they could tell you the season or the season that's coming. One of the most beautiful places ever in America to go is up toward the northeast when the leaves begin to change their colors. God just takes his brush and, like an artist, begins to just draw beautiful pictures. But what they are telling you is that summer is over. Winter is coming. And then they drop their leaves. And then in the springtime, you see them beginning to bud. And Jesus said that he gave the signs in Matthew 24 before he comes back. He likened that unto a tree that was beginning to bud. He said, when you begin to see these things, you know that summer is nigh. When you see those trees beginning to bud and the sap coming out, you know that spring is just around the corner and summer is on its way. Trees, God has put these out there for us, and he says, I want you to be a tree. Trees of the same orchard, basically, are similar trees. They're very supportive of each other. Trees are something that actually is alive, and they do die. Supportive. Orchards, groves of similar trees, they care for one another. That's why you don't need to be out there by yourself. Did you know that their root system links them together underneath the ground? And they are able to share information and nutrients one with another. And if one of them gets sick or infected, there's a fungi called mycelium, and it travels back and forth through the roots, able to carry the nutrients and the special sugars that are needed to heal its fellow tree. You need a local church. You say, bless God, I don't need anybody. Well, you just told me what's in your heart. You know, there's something about a tree. Similar, I mean, again, to the Lord Jesus. Life is tough. And there are going to be some places where that you're going to get into of where that there's going to be bitter waters that you're going to have to taste. Bitter waters you're going to run to. And it will be by the providence of God, like it was when Israel came out of Egypt, and it wasn't long until they come upon Marah, which was a lake or a pond, and when they drank out of it, the water was bitter. And nothing that they did could make the water taste better. Nothing. And there's some things in life that's coming your way, I'm telling you, that's going to make you bitter. And there's absolutely nothing you can do to make life better without a tree. Now they cut down a tree, and they put it, God told you, cut down this tree, and you put that tree in that water, and he will make the water sweet. And there is nothing that I know that helps me get through life and get past bitterness than for me to bow my knee before Christ. Amen. And ask him to give me grace and to yield my will to his will. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12 that when God puts you through some things that'll be grievous and not joyous, he said, you're going to be tempted to be bitter. He said, but I'm just pruning you. You're a tree and I'm just pruning you. And when you're being pruned, it's not going to be pleasant. You're not going to laugh about it. You're going to be hurting. But God says, you asked me to use you. You asked me to make you more fruitful. Well, there's some things on you that I've got to take off a little bit, and I've got to trim some things off of you. And it's when you go through, listen, usually it has to touch you emotionally. It's got to go deep. You got to feel it. And he says the only way you're going to get past that is by way of the cross. And that is you bowing your knee before God and say, God, I don't understand you, but I trust you. I don't understand you, but I love you. Please give me grace for my place right now in this life. He will give you grace. And you won't stay there forever. He'll turn the water sweet. He knows how to do that. He's a good God. I want to say this to you. I want to tell you one more passage, would you please? Turn with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. This encouraged me. And if you are a grandpa, a dad, a senior saint, this ought to encourage you. Psalm 92. I've told the Lord many times in my private time, in my me time with Him early in the mornings, outside watching the sun come up most mornings, not every morning. I want to give that false impression. I said, Lord, I want to run my race and finish it. I want to be in the battle till it's over for me. I want to be in the ring swinging till the bell sounds. I want to be in it. I want to be fruitful. I want to be productive. You know when I want the Lord to take me home? It's when I am no longer able to be productive. Now, I'm sincere about that. I don't want to just exist. I want to be productive. I want to be a blessing. Look in Psalm 92. Now, you got to think about something here now. God gives, if you're here this morning and you've been born again, God's given you a new heart. Your speech should reveal that. Your submission to the will of God should reveal that. If you and I have a falling out, I don't get to choose how to handle that. I have to handle that according to the Bible. I have to submit myself to the Word of God. I can't use excuses. I can't make excuses. I have to yield myself to the Lord if I want to continue to be productive. In Psalm 92, let's do some practical steps here. Number one, I need a new heart. I know that for sure. I need to be saved. Number two, Jesus said this. He said, you must abide in me and I in you. He said, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. He said, without me, you can do nothing. That's a dependent spirit upon the Lord regularly. But Paul went on to say, as he got born again and the Spirit of God came to live inside of him, as he developed his Christian life, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He became a very fruitful man. But practically, be sure this morning that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Number two, submit yourself to the Lordship of Christ. Learn your Bible. Let the Word of God abide in you. And number four, plant yourself in the house of God in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing church. They will be hard to find. But you are going to have to make some effort to look. Look in Psalm 92, please. Look at this. You remember I read those passages or quoted them to you where he said you should be like a tree planted by the water. Well, that's those roots going down and always getting nutrients and water. The water's the Word of God and the Spirit of God being able to help you and enable you to help you to bear fruit, to make you durable, reliable. But you look in Psalm 92, this is so good. Plant yourself. In Psalm 92, look at verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still. You see this, Brother Walker? Brother Walker, how old are you? How old are you, brother? 84. 84. Almost 85. Brother Brock, how old are you? 89. Now, Brother Brock is old as dirt. Amen. I love him. But I still bump up against him and get some fruit off of him. I still bump up against Brother Walker and get some fruit off of him. Look what he says in verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. And they shall be fat. Don't criticize me as I begin to spread like a green bay tree. They shall be flat. Excuse me, not flat. Y'all are messing with me. They shall be fat and flourishing. Oh, I want to be like that when I get older. Don't you, Sister Robin? Man, I want to be fruitful. I don't want to be a bitter old Baptist. Man, I want to be able to bear fruit. And he says in verse number 15, because you need to show some things as you get older, that the Lord is upright. God does right. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Can I ask you to turn over to Psalm 1 and let's close with this prayer. Ask my dear wife as she would come to the piano as she has for many, many years for me. And I thank God for her. And Psalm 1. Now you need to, if you're looking for a church, you need to be sure that you don't just get under the wrong kind of trees. There needs to be some trees planted there. Satan always plants his own tares. Quit hanging around people that are not bearing fruit. Quit trying to be like them. Look in Psalm 1. Look at this. Look how good this is. Avoid fruitless trees. One day we may talk about this in another passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs. It says, he that boasteth himself of a false gift. It's like a cloud without wind and rain. What does that mean? Well, it means that you see that cloud coming up, you're thirsty, your ground is thirsty, and you're expecting rain to come from it, so you've got your hopes up, but there's absolutely nothing that comes that's good or that helps you to grow. I don't like being around people. I don't like being in a Bible conference. I don't like being in a missions conference. I don't like being in a camp meeting when a man gets up and holds me hostage for about an hour. And he told me that he was going to preach. And he told me he was going to help me. And it was all about him, his ambitions. And there was nothing that he said that benefited me or them. That's a man that boasts himself of a false gift. And he's full of ambition and full of himself. You hang around people who don't talk about themselves all the time. You hang around people that talk about him and this and trying to help you to grow. This is really pretty simple. You ever hang around people that when you got through talking with them, you felt worse? You ever talk around sometime with some people and when you got away from them, you said, man, I need to take a bath. Outwardly and inwardly. People that are drama queens and kings. He says in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's a bad tree. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You choose who influences you. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. I love the word of God. His law doth he meditate day and night. I don't just come to hear it. I come to think about what was said and to do something with what I have heard. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a blessing it is for me to be able to point someone to a brother or a sister in this church, because I know if they talk to you, they're going to leave better and helped, get good counsel, or get help in some area of their lives. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. You need to avoid murmurers, doubters, discord sowers, and babblers that eat. Their words will eat at you as doth a canker, the Bible says, like gangrene. What a blessing it is to be able to talk to somebody and leave and say, man, he gave me some help. He gave me some help. Some can do it publicly. Some are better at it privately. Good trees. What kind of tree are you? What kind of tree are you? A tree is known by his own fruits. Let's stand together, please. I pray this morning, if you want the Lord to make you more fruitful, I ask that you would humble yourself, submit yourself to him, abide in him, and plant yourself in the house of the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, may your will be done in our lives for your glory. And Lord, may we be fruitful and productive here at East River in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed, would you please obey the Holy Spirit? If you need to be born again, God has shown you that you have nothing but bad fruit and you want your heart changed. You'll come and bow your knee before the Lord and ask him to save you. And if you're a child of God and you feel like that you've just kind of grown stale, and you want to be more productive, I ask you to bow your knee before him and say, God, please help me, use me. Oh, God, use me. Help me to be a blessing in my family, at work, in my church.